Hello and welcome to the Supercast. I'm your host, Superintendent Anthony Godfrey. Is your child spending excessive time playing video games? Is video game addiction a real problem among kids and teens today? On this episode of the Supercast, we talk with school psychologist Dustin Fulmer, who actually teaches a video game addiction class at the Jordan Family Education Center in Jordan School District. It's a class that's more popular than ever before, as parents try to figure out if video gaming has become an unhealthy habit for their own children. All right, we are here at Joel P. Jensen Middle School to talk with some students about how they feel about video games and which video games they like best and what they like about them. Tell me your name, please.
I'm Landon.
Landon, what video game do you play the most right now?
Definitely Minecraft.
Minecraft? Now, that's a very creative game. What do you like about playing Minecraft?
Mainly the party games on it.
Tell me a little bit more about that.
Well, base Minecraft is a survival game. Explore someone's creativity and challenge one's survivability. So, last year, on a Minecraft server called Hypixel, I spent 700 hours on a single game mode.
700 hours?
Yeah.
Are there some things that you didn't get to do because you were doing Minecraft?
Not really.
Okay. So, how did it feel after doing 700 hours of Minecraft?
Like, about halfway through, I got burned out, so I stopped playing for a while.
How many hours would you say you play in a day?
3.
Okay. So you just consistently play, and so did after the 700 hours, did you get to where you wanted to be in Minecraft? Did you accomplish what you were hoping to accomplish?
Most of it, yeah.
What do you like most about playing video games?
It's an escape from reality.
All right, tell me your name.
I'm Brandon.
And Brandon, what video games do you play most?
Well, I usually like to play on my phone. I like to play Geometry Dash a lot.
Geometry Dash? I haven't heard of Geometry Dash. Tell me about that.
Well, it sounds like a math game, but it's honestly really not. You're this cube and you jump over spikes. And it's a game of rhythm and timing and memorization.
So jumping and avoiding things actually matches up with some of the video games that I used to play back in the 1900s. Have you ever heard of Pitfall?
No, I don't think I have.
How about Activision?
I've heard of that. I think that's like a video game company.
Yes, very well done. And how about Atari?
Yeah, I've heard of that.
Okay, yeah, I used to play Atari. And Pong, have you ever played Pong?
No.
Okay, I need to bust out some Pong because I still have my old one from the 70s. Do your parents play video games at all?
No, my parents don't play video games, as far as I know, at least.
So, maybe under cover of night after you're in bed, they sneak down and play your MLB games?
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
It's probably too confusing for them.
Okay, all right. We wouldn't want parents to be too confused. All right, thank you very much. What's your name?
Mauricio.
Mauricio, what video games do you like to play?
Survival games. Like zombie games, kind
of. Survival games?
Yeah.
That's a whole kind of category. Tell me, what are some of the survival games that you play?
The Last of Us. It's kind of a apocalypse game. You have to go complete the mission, and they give you obstacles. You have to fight some enemies, fight some zombies.
So, fighting zombies, much like just day-to-day life in junior high.
Sure.
Have you ever heard of Dig Dug?
Yeah.
You have heard of Dig Dug?
Yeah, I play a lot of old games.
Really? Have you played Dig Dug?
Yeah.
And do you enjoy blowing up the little lizard dragons as much as I do?
Sometimes, yeah.
Do you ever play the old games with your parents?
Old games? Sometimes, yeah. They don't play too much video games. They usually work and stuff, so.
What's your name?
Makaya.
Makaya? What video games are you playing these days?
I like to play shooter games. So, for example, like Rainbow Six Siege and like Overwatch, they're two different kinds of games, but one's more like you help out your teams like complete a task, and one's more cartoonish.
Do your parents ever play Overwatch or watch you play?
My dad and dad does. My dad's family is more like on the video game side, but my mom is kind of against it.
What do you like about playing the game?
I like that you can just make up tactics to go through any type of building, like go through the side, go through below them or on top, and that you can just do, like, find different ways to get through and, like, escape from that.
So you like the strategy and the problem solving that's involved?
Yes.
We're here talking with Dustin Fulmer, school psychologist at Copper Hills High School, who will be speaking about video game addiction for the Timely Topics series available at the Jordan Family Ed Center. Dustin, thanks for joining us.
Yeah, it's great to be here.
We talked on podcast about the Jordan Family Ed Center, and I just couldn't resist when I heard that someone gave a presentation on video game addiction. I couldn't resist talking with you and asking about that because it seems to be much more prevalent than it was pre-pandemic. Are you noticing that?
I would say, yeah, across the board, I'm noticing a lot more dependency on technology in general, as we're all kind of forced to, I mean, here I am talking to you virtually in front of my computer screen. We're all kind of forced to be a little bit more dependent on technology these days. But with that, there's a big rise of addiction to every single aspect of technology, especially video games.
When you think about video game addiction, do you first just think about addictive behaviors in general to start with?
Definitely. And that's what I try to make very clear in the course or the presentation that I give to parents, is that we, in order to understand what's going on with video gaming addiction, we need to understand addiction itself, what exactly that is. Because video gaming addiction isn't really any different from any other type of addiction.
So what are some of the characteristics of addiction that would be universal?
So it's important to focus on the fact that anything can be addicting. I was joking around earlier with some people, but just that, you know, anything, even healthy things such as working out or reading or anything like that can become addictive. And what that really leads to is understanding that when some sort of habit or some sort of task that you do too much to the point of becoming dependent and to the point of it disrupting life activities such as taking care of yourself, eating, sleeping, or doing things like your job or, in the case of kids, their schoolwork. And so that's when something becomes addictive.
What would you suggest to parents to help prevent this from happening in the first place? Say that their child has been playing more and more lately, and they're worried about things getting out of hand.
So I would say that it kind of goes with the whole saying of the best time to plant a tree is 300 years ago. The second best time is right now, where if you're going to introduce video games into a kid's life, as soon as you do that, set limitations, set expectations as to what that should look like. If you just buy the new Xbox or new PlayStation or get them hooked up on online gaming through the computer and then just say have at it, it's inevitably going to lead to problems, most likely. Kids are really bad at regulating, and that's a proven fact. And so as soon as you introduce video games into a kid's life, set limitations, set expectations. Say, you can have this. It's going to be a fun thing for you. However, we need to limit how much time we're doing it. Or you can only play it after you've finished all your homework, and I've double-checked on that. Or some sort of boundary to set right from the get-go. If a kid has already been playing and you now want to do that, once again, it's great to have that conversation of what do you think is reasonable? Let's set some boundaries. Let's set some expectations.
Is it okay to use it as a reward? Does that create more problems, or can that be an effective way of containing video game time?
I feel like rewards are great. And when it comes to rewards for expected behaviors, it's whatever is motivational to the kid. You know, one kid may be motivated by outdoor play. One kid may be motivated by video games. And so if that's the motivation you can find, like, you know, if you do all your chores, I'll give you additional time on the system to play your games today, then that's great. I don't see it as being bad. Of course, once it becomes to the point where the kid is constantly trying to, you know, wager and do those addictive type behaviors where there's an obvious dependency, then you might need to cut back. But yeah, I would say off the off the top of my head, rewards are a great thing to do no matter what they are.
Now, when you said wagering, I want to talk about that because that's something that my son does quite a bit of. I'm not labeling him an addict. However, it seems that whenever I say, okay, you got 30 minutes to play this game, invariably when I come in after 30 minutes, oh, I'm right in the middle of this. I just need 10 more minutes to finish this. And so there's always some other portion of the quest or phase of the game that must be finished before he ends his game. Do you have any advice on that? Because there's always a bargain being struck when you're telling time is up.
Right. And a huge emphasis that I go through with my presentation is understanding video games a little bit better and like what makes them addictive, as well as like trying to be involved in some way. And so to answer that, I would say like a big part of it is even understanding the game that that your child is playing. And so, you know, it's a constant meme all the time online that I see, where kids are making fun of parents coming in and say, pause your game. It's like, it's online. I can't pause it. And, you know, it's just kind of a constant thing where parents just don't, you know, don't seem to understand. And so if we find ourselves always bargaining at the end of it, it's like, okay, it's been 30 minutes, it's time. And they say, oh, but I just need to do one more thing. Do they really? Is it something where they could legit just save the state of their game right then and there and walk away? Or is it something where they really are in the middle of a match and maybe we just let them finish it out, right?
So it's about better understanding the game so that you can be more informed as you regulate the time.
Right. And so let's say I do set a time on somebody and they're playing Fortnite online with their friends. And if I find that in the 29th minute they're trying to start a new match, I might say, okay, you know time is up. You have less than a minute left. These matches can take anywhere from 5 to 20 minutes each. How about you stop right now? Versus if somebody is playing just a single-player game by themselves where there's the ability to save the game at any given moment and it's pausable, then I know I can let them play up until the 30th minute and say, okay, pause, save, let's turn it off.
Stay with us. More on video game addiction when we come back. Find out about the signs to watch for in video game addiction.
If you're ready to start your child on the path to personalized learning, we're ready to help. The Jordan Virtual Learning Academy is coming to Jordan School District in the 2021-22 school year. Three new schools will be opening as part of the academy: Rocky Peak Virtual Elementary School, Kelsey Peak Virtual Middle School, and Kings Peak High School. Each school will have their own principal and teachers, and each will give students a choice in their own learning. The schools will offer synchronous learning, which is teachers providing real-time, live online instruction, and asynchronous learning, where teachers provide videotaped instruction for learning on a student's schedule. To register your student in the Jordan Virtual Learning Academy, visit connect.jordandistrict.org.
You talked earlier about what makes a video game addictive and that understanding that can help us moderate our child's engagement with those games. Can you describe some of that?
Sure. So anything that is addictive meets some sort of need in our lives. Things like video games that don't necessarily have a chemical addictive property to them, what it is that something about them will trigger the pleasure center in our brains, and that can become addictive in and of itself. And so video games, they have a whole bunch of different things that can make them interactive and addictive, I mean. And a lot of the developers know what those things are and will try to put them into their games even more so. Some examples include things such as the endless side quests in a mission. So, for example, a really popular series out there is the Assassin's Creed series. And those games have become larger and larger with open world areas. And you'll get a main quest that'll tell you that you need to go from point A to point B. But then along that straight line, you'll find that in order to get to point B, you also need to go to point C, D, E, F, all the way through Z in order to actually ever get to point B. And so it's just kind of this endless side quest kind of thing that can become addictive, where, you know, it's just one more thing I got to do. Okay, one more thing I got to do. And that's something that they capitalize quite a bit on. And something that makes Fortnite super addictive is something called the Twitch principle, where it kind of triggers those fast reflex impulses, where if you were to watch an online match of professional Fortnite players, you would have no idea what's going on, because these buildings are popping up and being deconstructed and people are jumping and shooting and just everything is going on so fast. And then the guy ends up losing the match. You have no idea how. And he gets super frustrated because he's like, I was this close to winning. So then he starts up a whole nother match and needs to get that win doing the same exact stuff. And so it's just kind of that you're just so close, and that's how it hooks you. It's really similar to the slot machine kind of principle, where I know if I were just to give it one more pull, I'm going to get that jackpot. Oh, it didn't come. Just one more.
Cherry bar.
Yep.
I almost got there. I just need one more.
Yep. And so it's that exact same principle where you just keep getting that close and you just need to keep going.
How do you know when your child is addicted to video games?
So it's a hard thing to really measure necessarily, but it's about looking for different behaviors that indicate that a kid is starting to have a dependency on video games, where they're constantly thinking about it. If they're not playing video games, they're worrying about when they'll get another chance, or they're putting things off. Like maybe they're waking up in the middle of the night so they can get one more match, one more game, one more level, or they're putting off other things. Maybe they were a really good student before, or maybe just a good enough student before, and now suddenly they're failing or having really bad grades because instead of doing anything school related, they have to get on the computer or get on the system and be playing that. So it's just, once it starts to become an obvious dependence or it's a disruption to things that they should be doing, that's when it starts to become a serious sign of possible addiction.
When it disrupts normal flow of daily life, then that's when you have a problem.
Exactly, yeah.
So let's start with what you do once you see it's happening. Let's say that you're there. A parent that's listening is thinking, you just described my child. What do you recommend at that point?
The number one thing I can recommend to any parent is communication. When it comes down to it, with any kind of addiction, but especially when it comes to technology and video gaming, it's about having communication with your child and figure out what exactly you can do to help them. Because a lot of the times, I would say that kids are very well aware of this issue. If it's to the point where they're completely ignorant of the fact that they are having these problems, then it's a little bit more work. But communication is the first thing to do. Be able to talk to them openly about what you're seeing, and then talking to them about maybe limitations that you can put into place. If you just start limiting things automatically, start taking things away, start limiting time, it's honestly going to backfire, and kids are going to find ways around things that you do if they truly are addicted. But if you involve them in the process, have them give input as to how you can limit things, maybe goals to set after you do X, Y, and Z, then you can have this amount of time on the system, then those are the best first steps to take. Anything you do, though, that doesn't involve the kid is definitely going to backfire.
It makes a lot of sense, and I can picture that conversation. Even, do you feel like you're playing too many video games and that's getting in the way of daily life? And if they can admit that, then they're at one stage. And if they can't, then that's an entirely different problem altogether. It makes sense to start with those restrictions. Do you gradually make those restrictions more and more strict and reduce the time more and more? Where do you go from there once there's agreement that there's a problem and that you agree on some parameters and some goals and rewards?
That's a really good question, because it kind of depends on the situation with the kid. If it's like to the point where it's that kid where you bring up, it seems like you're having a problem with it and they deny it and they don't see a problem, then that's usually when you would want to start off more strict at first. Maybe even getting to the point of completely unplugging. One of the hardest things, though, if you start setting these strict limitations, is that I really encourage parents to try to follow the same limitations that they set on the kid themselves. Because a lot of times the kids don't see a problem with the video gaming that they're doing because the parent will be yelling across the living room, hey, stop playing on your video games, you're on it too much. And then meanwhile, they continue to browse on their phone and get in political arguments on Facebook.
I see.
So it's just kind of a hard thing to be able to set limitations unless you're able to set those same limitations on yourself to a reasonable degree. Like if you're doing work from your computer, of course, then you need to do that.
Yeah, when I was playing the Atari in 1982, my dad was not engaged in similar activity, so there was no comparison. But these days, you're right. Mm-hmm. You're playing Candy Crush on your phone and telling them not to play video games, or you may be involved in some real video gaming yourself as a parent. You just need to be modeling that.
Exactly. And in fact, it's funny that you bring up Candy Crush because there was actually statistics that were released a few years back that the number one demographic that was addicted to Candy Crush were middle-aged women. And so here we are always like worrying about kids being addicted to video games where sometimes we need to kind of look at ourselves and see just what our technological habits are as well.
Just to summarize, someone, a child who can admit that they need to cut back may not need the most strict restrictions right out of the gate. But mm-hmm. if they can't even admit it, you may need to go to an extreme and just say, we need to cut this off entirely. And mm-hmm. then it rests with the parent to do the same.
Yes, definitely. And it's kind of, as well as this video gaming addiction course that I teach a continuous course at the JFEC as well that helps with nicotine addiction. And the thing that we always tell everybody is that cold turkey is the most effective but most difficult method to getting over an addiction. And so it goes the same way with technology and video gaming. If it's to the point where it's a severe addiction, sometimes cold turkey is the best option, where we're just going to unplug and hide those things, block those things on the computer maybe, and then maybe reintroduce it later if we can learn how to handle this thing a little bit better.
How serious can this problem be?
So I would equate it to any type of other addiction where it can definitely lead to very serious problems if we let it get out of hand with the individual. Addiction to video games in studies has been tied to severe signs and symptoms of depression, of anxiety. If it's to the point, because social interactions through video games really does not equate social interaction face to face or even like through conversation over things such as Google Meet or phone calls. And so honestly, like while there is some social benefit to video games, true video gaming addiction will lead to social anxiety and social stress and difficulty maintaining social relationships with people as well. And so there are really severe outcomes that can come of it. And it is a serious thing to consider when we're trying to monitor kids' usage of video games.
Are those some of the signs when professional help may need to be sought?
Definitely. I would treat it just like any other addiction. Honestly, I wouldn't say that there's really very many people out there that specify in therapeutic treatment specifically for video gaming addiction. But if you find somebody that is an addiction specialist, then that's somebody that would be perfect to go to. Our district is actually really great in helping people find professionals to meet with. The health and wellness team at the district level even put together a huge Excel spreadsheet on the website that shows providers in the area, and it will specifically tell whether or not they deal with addiction. And so those would be the type of people to go to for having specific problems to the point of it being severe with addiction to video games.
Okay, Dustin, thanks. This has been great information. Tell me, what is your favorite video game?
That's a hard question to answer. To be honest, part of the reason why I'm so interested in teaching this is because I feel like I actually had a real struggle with video gaming addiction myself as a youth. I was really into, back in high school, I was really into PlayStation 2, Nintendo 64 when I was a little bit younger, and I got hooked really into the single player games. There was a series called Kingdom Hearts that was very involved, very lengthy, great story to it, but it took up way too much of my time. And I realized that, and I'm a very athletic guy, but at the same time, the video games started taking way too much of my time. And so now I'm just kind of here to help not only help kids not go down that road, but also help parents understand and connect with their kids.
Thanks for joining us, Dustin. Great information, and look forward to talking with you about other topics in the future.
Yeah, definitely. Thank you for having me.
Thanks for joining us for another episode of the Supercast. Remember, education is the most important thing you'll do today. We'll see you out there.